People in Wisconsin are getting sick from COVID-19, and some of them are dying. We know 682 Wisconsinites are confirmed dead, having tested positive for the disease. And yet, other people killed by COVID are not likely part of that official count. We're learning how we know that and what might contribute to people who are, as our guest writes, gone but not counted. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. What are you wondering? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. How closely do you follow the number of deaths or positive cases of COVID-19 in Wisconsin? What does it tell you about how to live your life? What questions do you have about the process? And if you have a story to share about COVID-19, now is the time. 800-642-1234. Rory LaLanne is a public health reporter for the Ideas Lab at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Rory, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here again. We can go past the numbers here. You reported on a Glendale man who died in mid-March. Now, he tested negative for the coronavirus, and yet hospital staff, the coroner, say the test result was probably wrong. What's his story?
Yeah, so his son reached out to me, and he was concerned because, as far as he knew, his father had died from COVID, but no public health officials ever reached out to him, which, you know, should be part of the typical contact tracing process to make sure that anyone who might have been in contact with the person is isolating. And so I started looking into it and talked to the coroner, and he said, yes, this was COVID. We did have a negative test, but because how remarkably similar the symptoms were, we felt it was safe to conclude that it was COVID. But, you know, because of that negative test, the notifications didn't happen, and the health department confirmed to us that they never knew about that death. And the man who died had actually been living at Symphony Nursing Home in Glendale, which makes it extra alarming as we know how quickly the coronavirus is spreading in those settings.
And he had a negative test, and yet the coroner was able to say, this is it. We know that testing at different times will sometimes give you a negative result, even if someone later develops COVID or if there's just not enough virus left in the body, but someone is still suffering from its effects. Is that
right?
Kind of part of the problem why he can still say, or I'm sorry, why the coroner can still say, you know, this was COVID?
Right. Yeah. Because it is expected that there will be some COVID cases that do have false negatives on the test. And so it's important to look at all of the information you have. And the people who worked with the man at the hospital had agreed that it was a COVID case.
Where in the process did it break down that we have the person determining death saying this was COVID, and yet the state doesn't count this man in their count?
Yeah, there are a lot of different paths that can happen for the notification process, and it's been working differently in different counties, which could be part of the problem. So the hospital is supposed to enter the death into this statewide system called WEDS, where anyone would other public health officials would have access to it. So that was an issue. And then also, you know, in some counties, the medical examiner is supposed to notify health departments, and that didn't happen in this case either. Part of the problem is not having a very consistent method for that notification process.
How often are coronavirus deaths not being counted in the state's totals? Can we figure that out?
It's complicated, but we tried to figure it out as closely as we could. My colleagues at USA Today did an analysis of CDC data, trying to figure out how many people are dying, how many more people than usual are dying in Wisconsin right now, and how many of those have we identified as COVID cases. So looking at the period from March 22nd to April 11th, they found there were 247 more deaths than we had seen on average over the past 6 years in that same period. Only 133 of those were known COVID cases. So that means COVID cases were accounting for about half of the excess deaths that we were seeing. And then there's a couple possible reasons for that. One would be that they're COVID cases that were missing, and the other could be that there is heightened stress on both individuals and on health systems right now. So people are putting off important medical appointments, and they're dying from those ailments that are going untreated. And there's also, so far, it's been too early for us to say if there is an uptick in suicide numbers, but that is also something that public health experts have predicted, and we are certainly seeing more people accessing emergency psychiatric care.
Is this a Wisconsin-specific program, or are other states grappling with this discrepancy?
The analysis found that there were many other states also dealing with this issue, especially states where there were the most severe outbreaks of COVID.
Could some cases be mislabeled if it was COVID-19, but then, pneumonia was really the eventual cause of death, or maybe another disease by the coronavirus?
Yeah, definitely. We think that could be one of the reasons we're missing some of these cases is that they can look a lot like pneumonia. And if they don't do a test, either while the person is still alive or postmortem, they might just never find out. So that is an issue where things are getting misclassified, and also just a general lack of testing has meant people have died without ever knowing whether they had COVID.
Well, and then you compound that in that we know that people who are older are more likely to suffer from severe symptoms of this. And so, all the time people succumb to their chronic health issues, or when older people pass, sometimes we just say, well, they lived a good life. So there are all of these factors that come together in trying to really capture this this official number.
Yeah, that's right. And oftentimes it's only reported if COVID is considered the primary cause of death, but there are other people who could have died where another health condition is listed as the primary cause, and COVID might be secondary or it might never be caught, but it could be something that exacerbated the ailment that they did die from.
Yeah. Rory LaLanne is a public health reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we're talking about her reporting about COVID-19 and how we have official totals of how many people have died in Wisconsin, but those don't necessarily include everyone who has died because it is related to COVID-19. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234, wondering how you think about the numbers that we're reporting, what questions you have about the process. Give us a call and Rory will try to answer your question, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Rory, why does it matter that public health officials know the actual number of deaths related to the coronavirus?
Mm-hmm. It's really important to have accurate numbers because that is informing both the public view of how seriously people are taking this and also how public health officials are determining the best way to handle the virus. So, if people think that the death number is lower than it actually is, they might be taking risks that they wouldn't otherwise take. And it's also important for public health officials to be able to keep tabs on how this virus is moving and be able to do contact tracing and follow up with everyone who people have had contact with who may need to be warned about their own exposure.
In your reporting, you also learned about one death that was reported only because of a proactive funeral director. What happened in that case?
Yeah, the director of the North Shore Health Department here in the Milwaukee area told me about that case where she got a call from the director of a funeral home who was concerned about whether the person who died and was in his care could possibly have COVID and what that could mean for his own exposure. And the health department hadn't heard about this person dying and the person had never been tested. So the health department brought over a swab and the funeral director administered that swab and the test came back positive. And so it was very nearly missed. And that person had been a resident also of a long-term care facility, and the medical examiner had decided not to swab the body, partly because he didn't know that there had been a coronavirus outbreak at that facility. And so that you know, goes back to another issue where long-term care facilities and nursing homes previously weren't required to publicly acknowledge COVID outbreaks. And that's something that's changing.
Yeah, I mean, so both of these real person explanations, descriptions you've been able to give us do trace back to these facilities where older people, more vulnerable people live in sometimes really close quarters. And my understanding is that that could exacerbate the spread of COVID-19. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. Especially when you have staff that aren't given the protections they need. So I talked with staff at a number of these homes where they weren't given the masks and other protective equipment that they needed to be able to stay really safe. And the virus was moving quickly through there. And now they're finally doing more testing in those environments and trying to get a handle on things.
All right. We are talking about the new coronavirus pandemic with Rory Linane, a reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Rory is covering how the state of Wisconsin is not necessarily counting all of the deaths that are related to COVID-19 in that official number that we get updated from the Department of Health Services every day. We're talking with her about that. She's also covering protests in the Milwaukee area. We'll talk about that coming up. And we're taking your questions at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. The news reports the latest COVID numbers every day. It's important information to have the facts about confirmed cases, but those numbers may leave some people behind. We're talking about it with reporter Rory Linane. She's talking about this in her reporting and following up on stories from people. You're here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. Thanks for being with us on the Ideas Network. And Mike from Minocqua is ready to join the conversation. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
I enjoyed your show, and I listened yesterday, but late, and wasn't able to ask this, but I come from Chicago, and we have a place in Minocqua, and we're up here a lot. I'm retired now, so we spend more time up here, and I know the rates in Wisconsin of positivity are about 3% or less, and that's been good, but what about the North Woods, like from Wausau North? You know, there's a lot of people that come up here for the summer, and I also notice there's a lot of people, like tradesmen and, you know, people in stores that don't wear masks.
Sure.
Is it because they don't get much of it? I know they haven't gotten much of it, but I'm just concerned that the rates in the rural areas, especially in the north here, where people come, are going to start going up. And there are a number of seniors up here.
Yeah, Mike, thank you for that question. Rory, what do we know about the rates and the number counting in northern Wisconsin?
Yeah, I haven't been keeping close track of that myself, as we have other reporters on those number stories every day. But I know that we are seeing cases in every area of the state, and those numbers are going up. And I think that is a big problem where people, you know, especially in more urban areas, think they can go to these rural areas and take a break from the virus and be more careless, and that has really harmful consequences for the people who live there. So I think it's important for everyone to be keeping that in mind and, you know, not having an illusion that there are places that are safe from this. And it's affecting everywhere.
Mike, thanks for that question. You can also find an interactive map online at WPR.org/COVID that will show you all of the cases that have been reported every day. And it is a lower rate in the northern part of the state than some areas to the eastern and southeastern part of the state. So that might be a good resource for you at WPR.org/COVID. And Arnold from Madison wants to share with us, too. Hey, Arnold.
Good morning. I had a question. I'd like to preface this by saying that I don't believe that the numbers down in, for instance, in Racine County, where I worked on a high-profile job known as the Foxconn Project, I don't believe that any of those numbers were reported for fear that the company and the whole project already having a very negative profile, that they were afraid of being shut down. I was diagnosed with COVID-19, as was a number of other people, as high as 20. And I know this all date. It goes back to December when I was complaining to the safety director why people who were visibly sick were standing at our morning meeting, and these guys were visibly sick, and I asked the health, the safety guy, why these people weren't being asked to leave and go home.
Yeah, Arnold, thank you for sharing that. And Rory, is there any way for Arnold to know if the cases that he knows of, including his own, were reported to the state?
Yeah, thank you, first of all, so much for sharing that. I would recommend reaching out to the local health department in Racine and make sure they know about these cases and that those are getting reported. And it sounds very similar to what I've heard from workers at Amazon in Kenosha, where the company, Amazon, was not providing numbers to the health department even when they knew about employees testing positive. And so that has definitely been an issue. And the health department there is now working to be able to test all the employees. But so far, Amazon has not allowed the health department to do so.
All right. That's excellent advice. And we know that you've been reporting on protests in Milwaukee, Rory. We know that you're covering a variety of subjects. We've got links to those along with this conversation on our website at WPR.org/mornings. Would love to talk to you again. Really appreciate all the information you were able to bring to us today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Rory Linane is a public health reporter for the Ideas Lab at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we were able to talk with her about COVID-19 and how the numbers that the state has are not necessarily always reflective of the true rates that we're dealing with across the state of Wisconsin. Hundreds of thousands of people in Wisconsin are out of work due to the coronavirus pandemic. With no money coming in, many find themselves visiting food pantries for the first time. Danielle Kading reports food banks and pantries across Wisconsin are making changes to meet demand as the nation has witnessed disruptions in the supply chain.
Vicki Graff is stopping in at the Bayfield Food Pantry for the first time.
I always felt like people who needed it even more than me, but they keep encouraging me to come.
Graff was working for the local chamber, but they reduced staff due to the pandemic. She hasn't heard whether her job will be brought back and is pursuing other options.
It hasn't been really, really bad, you know, with the stimulus money and unemployment. It's been manageable.
Mary Doherty, who helps run the food pantry, says more than 400 people visited the rural food shelf for the first time in April alone. She says the COVID-19 crisis has transformed their operations.
The food pantry normally operated was like a grocery store where people would come in and pick what they want off the shelves. But we can't do that with social distancing.
Now people pull up in their cars outside the food pantry and volunteers decked out in gloves and masks run food out to them.
We'll open up the trunk and we put it in the car just to stay distant.
That's volunteer Lisa Lutnan of Washburn.
And then we sanitize our hands between each car that we put items in.
The pandemic has changed more than how they run. It's also changed what food they're getting and how they store it. Doherty says they've received bulk quantities they're not equipped to handle. So she's worked with community partners to store food, including Danny Simpson. He's assistant manager of a food center at Northland College in Ashland. Simpson says they've stored food for Bayfield's pantry and repackaged donations from local businesses that were forced to shut down for Ashland's food shelf.
Restaurants, because of their volume and the amount of food that they're kicking out, don't receive those smaller, nice packaged quantities.
Food banks are also grappling with changes in the supply chain. Shane Morris, executive director of Second Harvest Northern Lakes Food Bank, says food from area grocers declined after people rushed to stock up on food in March.
So we began purchasing product. So we will go out to, you know, major manufacturers nationally and, you know, secure a truckload of something or multiple products. But that comes at a higher cost for us.
In 2 months, Morris says they bought more than $350,000 worth of food while demand has grown. More than 17,000 people visited the food shelves they serve in March, closing in on levels not seen since the Great Recession. Wisconsin's food share program that provides money to families for buying food has also seen a spike in people seeking assistance. Food share director Rebecca McAtee says they saw more than 15,000 applications filed in 1 week when demand reached its peak. But those numbers have come down as unemployment payments have started to come through.
Generally, if the economy is kind of picking back up and opening back up, you know, that might also have an impact on whether people are continuing to apply.
Judy Bartfeld says the number of people who are uncertain where their next meal is coming from or lack access to food is likely beyond anything seen in recent history. She's a food security research and policy specialist with the Division of Extension at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Bartfeld says helping people recover will require work on multiple fronts.
So it's not just about strengthening our food pantries. It's about strengthening our public food safety net. It's about strengthening our income safety net. It's about being able to get people back to work. There's so many levels at which we have to tackle this if we want to really think about long-term progress.
As of this month, more Wisconsin households will now be eligible to receive emergency food assistance from food pantries after state and federal officials signed off on a proposal to raise the income limit. Vicki Graff, who was visiting Bayfield's pantry for the first time, thinks food shelves are going to be even more important as time goes on, especially if the nation sees another wave of coronavirus cases this fall. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And up next on The Morning Show, we have a kid-friendly hour with Mick Sullivan. He's host of a history podcast called The Past and the Curious. Kids, what do you want to know about history? What fun fact do you want to share? You can call now to get in line. The number is 800-642-1234. Who's your favorite person from history or your favorite time to learn about? What's the coolest historical artifact you've seen or heard about? 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Voltina, and this is the Ideas Network.